I believe it's my turn, isn't it?
I think so.
501? No, excuse me. 501 here. 401 out in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. Just finished a beautiful 30-mile zone. First 2 hours. Rolled by quite fast. Some good conversations. I don't know if either of you tied. And by the way, Chris versus the fans coming up. 833-288-0973. I don't know if you guys heard PK Subban. Is it Subban or Subban?
Subban.
Subban.
Yes. He's a French-Canadian player.
French-Canadian. Yeah. He's the voice right now on the Four Nations broadcast. He had some very interesting, he had a spirited debate on First Take this morning. He, along with Stephen A., I can't remember the defensive player that used to play for the Ravens, but he was also a part of it. And they were he basically was calling some of our athletes out in terms of showing up. He used the All-Star game, for example.
Yeah.
Showing up, playing, why you should be playing banged up, why, you know, you're a superstar. He basically said, if you're not giving me Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and you're some version of that, you don't get his respect. It was some pretty pointed words. And he's gonna leave it to a hockey guy to get right to the facts. No beating around the bush at all.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but I said that so you know maybe Scraby can find it before the show ends today. But I thought it was
Scraby would like it. Here's the thing about hockey players. You know this, Tony. They will play under any circumstances. Broken leg. If they could get out there,
they relish playing under every circumstance.
They want they want to play with the worst injury possible so that they can be the
right
guy. So that is where he's coming from. Number one, number two, I don't believe any player is getting a single penny for this Four Nations Cup, and yet they're playing like it's the Stanley Cup final tonight with the U.S. versus Canada, and every single player says, "Oh yeah, it's absolutely for the." For the country logo on my jersey. That's all they care about. And this means the world to these guys. And so I think this is where PK Subban is coming from. You know, he's saying, how go out there and play. Why aren't you, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. But, so I appreciate him saying that. I know Scraby does because he hates anybody who misses any games.
I don't know how I got involved in this, but sure. I love this guy.
All right. Here's your chance. Again, 833-288-0973. Your chance to take down Chris Ello himself begins right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The prizes, a qualification if you win for a trip to Las Vegas. Motley Crue just announced a brand new Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM March 28th through April 19th. You're going to be qualified for a chance to win a trip to Vegas to see that show, including two tickets plus a hotel stay at Park MGM. Get your tickets to Motley Crue, the Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM now at Ticketmaster.com. Also, you will win a pair of tickets to AEW Dynamite at Front Wave Arena on February 26th. Tickets are on sale now at AEWTix.com. Now, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get that question for free today. All right. Let me get the first contestant on. Chris, give me a number, 1 through 6.
Six.
Our guy John from Temecula.
Hello, John.
Hello.
How you guys doing? I know you would never do this, John, but the last Temecula contestant swore. It was Ramona.
Yeah, I was going to say.
My bad. Never mind.
Sorry, John, for lumping you in with Ramona.
Throwing Temecula under the bus there. I didn't mean to.
Did somebody drop a bad word?
Yesterday,
they did.
Yes.
They did.
But
yes,
they didn't mean to. All right, here we go.
Let's get to it. First question.
bringing it up for no reason.
John, where does Willie Adames now play?
Oh, man. Giants?
Wow.
Got it.
That was pretty good.
Way to go.
On to question number two.
Sorry, I forgot to wait for
you. Sweat it out there.
What team... Is that right?
Dyslexic.
Okay. What team does SDFC open up with this weekend?
Oh, man. They're on the road. Oh, gosh. And I'm driving. I can't Google Scraby, but...
I know you wouldn't, John. What'd you say?
Man. I don't know the names of the teams. Are they in New Jersey?
New Jersey. I think Chris that might know incorrect. This one.
I do. It's right up the road because there you could actually go to the game, John, if you were so inclined. The LA Galaxy up there in Carson. Sorry, John, but thanks for playing,
John,
yes. As always.
Call
good
us
to
again,
have you
John.
On.
Appreciate it. I just ate some of your salsa last night, to be honest.
John's the salsa guy.
You still got the salsa, huh?
Well, remember the whole thing where they had to throw out stuff from the fridge because I left the fridge open on accident overnight, and so
yes,
it was the whole box of salsa.
You almost created a flood in the office.
I did not almost create a flood. There was a full box of salsa that they just like said, here, you guys have to throw it away. And I'm like, no, I'm taking this home. I don't care if I get sick, and I haven't gotten sick. It's delicious. Okay. Next contestant.
Right. Salsa's delicious while you're lying on the couch.
What a jerk. I don't lie on the couch, Chris. I sit upright. Kevin in Oceanside. Hello, Kevin.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Been a while.
All good right. to have you back,
it has
Kevin.
Been a
good
while,
to
Kev.
Have you back.
Thank you. Welcome back, my friend.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Question number one.
First question. What team shares the same building with the Padres in Peoria?
Seattle Mariners.
Winner. I think I've asked that question like 1,000 times.
Solid question.
Not putting it in there.
It's a good number one question.
You know what's interesting about the two teams
what,
and the one?
Chris?
The fact that you could be in the same building, but the Mariners seem like they're 10 miles away.
I actually have never seen a Mariners player anywhere near the Padres side.
Right. Tony, do you run into anybody from there?
Ooh. Mariners.
That run into
the Mariners side of things there. It seems, you know, it's very well separated.
Yeah, it is really well separated.
As a matter of fact, I've never seen a Mariner other than walking over to their side of the facility.
There you go.
That is kind
of crazy.
Oh,
you know what? I checked that. From field one on the Padres side.
Okay.
You can look across and see, at the far distance, the Mariners on their field. I presume their field one on their side.
Gotcha.
I will gladly go and do Spygate or something on the Mariners if Mike Schilt needs me to. So, all right. Question? Nothing, guys. At least Kevin gave me a little laugh.
Well, it's pretty doubtful that he'll ask you to do something because he doesn't know who you are.
Jeez. Sad after that.
Chris Paul has played for 7 teams.
Oh boy.
I need 4 of those 7.
Clippers. Pelicans. Knicks. And Boston.
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 Stay there, Kevin. Stay
down hard.
Stay there.
You know how I hate Chris Paul.
I do.
But I hate everywhere he's played.
I know enough to see
him. And I know all of his stats, too.
I don't.
I also love his Farmers Insurance commercials as well.
Go sit back down on the couch. I got Clippers.
Which is salsa.
Yeah. I got Clippers. I got Phoenix. I got San Antonio and OKC.
Sorry, Kevin.
Sorry, Kevin.
That was kind of
Yo,
hard.
when did Chris Paul play for the Warriors? I don't remember.
Last year.
Oh, that's right. He came over with, he played with Steph Curry, supposedly. They're going to take him to new heights last year, did not. Who was the other two teams, Greg?
Rockets, Suns. Or wait,
oh, they traded him halfway through. They traded him at the deadline, didn't they?
I think so.
It goes Hornets,
I don't
Clippers,
think he finished
Spurs,
oh,
Hornets.
That's the other one.
Hornets. Warriors, Thunder, Rockets, Suns.
Okay. Well-traveled, well, because he's not well-liked. Nobody can
well,
put up
wait,
with the guy
the Hornets one, he said Pelicans.
I was going to give it to him.
I was about to say, that should have still been given to
it
him.
It was technically New Orleans Hornets, but whatever. I was going to be nice.
Okay.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter, because Chris got it right. Because he hates slash loves Chris Paul so much.
No, I don't love him.
All right, let's go to fellow Matt. Matt in Point Loma. Hello, Matt.
Hello, hey, Matt in Point Loma. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. First question. What football team won the Mountain West Conference last season?
Ooh. Nevada.
Nevada.
Nevada. Hello.
I'm going to go Boise.
For the
state.
Boise.
Sorry, Matt.
Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, the big running back.
And co.
Yeah, let him. All right, who's our next contestant there, Scrape?
You know what? I think we're going to go with Scott in San Diego.
Scott in San Diego, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Scott.
Happy Thursday. Here we go. First question. What QB made the most starts for the Aztecs last year?
I gotta throw it to Chris. I don't watch San Diego State football, even though I live in San Diego.
It's okay.
He's gonna throw it to Chris Ella. Hope for a fumble.
Danny O'Neill. Yeah.
Danny, I'm out.
Who's
O'Neill.
Now gone, yeah. I choose not to remember him, frankly.
Well, you know, he wanted to be closer to home and also play for Wisconsin.
And take whatever money they...
I don't blame it for wanting to be closer to home, but...
Yeah, man, go
you
get,
moved
go
out
get
to
your
San
bag,
Diego,
Danny.
San Diego for a reason. Just
he also decided in about an hour and a half, which told me that it was kind of a done deal ahead of time.
Yeah.
It didn't take him long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Danny O'Neill.
All right, good luck to you, Danny.
Now he's going to win the Heisman with Wisconsin next year.
I know. No shot.
All right, we got to go tiebreaker. What's our player?
Tiebreaker.
Julio Rodriguez, Mariner. Unless you got someone better.
Like the now Julio Rodriguez?
Sure. So, yeah, no, give me someone else.
How about Juan Gonzalez? Sure.
Texas Ranger.
That is interesting. What made
Home
you think of
champ?
Juan Gonzalez?
I don't know. I have no idea what made me think of it. When
All
you
right.
said Julio Rodriguez, his name, his face popped up in my head.
There you go.
17 seasons.
Really?
Yeah. So let me get a call real quick. We're going to go to Alex in Cardiff. Hello, Alex.
Alex in Cardiff.
Hey, guys.
Hello. We're going to play the tiebreaker. Do you know how to play?
I know how to play.
All right. I'm going to put you down for a second. Chris? In a single season, hold on, let me sort this real quick just so I have it right.
Sort it, buddy,
All right.
Sort it.
What was the most home runs he hit in a single season in his career?
I believe he was at least a 2 or 3-time home run champion, but I don't recall him ever quite getting to 50. I think he played before the steroid era, before guys like Brady Anderson were hitting 50. I'm going to give him 46, though.
46 in one season. All right, Alex, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher.
I think he's got to win.
Barely, but Alex does win. No. Very nice job, Alex.
Good job, Alex. What was it, 47?
It was 47 in 1996.
All right, very good.
You know,
smack dab in the middle of the steroid.
Yeah, right. He was right. In the steroid.
I was going to say, here are his top seasons, guys. 96 was 47, 93 was 46, 98 was 45, 92 was 43, 97, 39. He hit 434 in his career, and he also finished his career with a 295 average.
He first of all, Juan Gonzalez was a terrific player with or without help. But his demise was he signed that big deal to go play in Detroit. when Comerica was,
you couldn't hit it out of there.
Graveyard.
Even Barry Bonds would have had a little trouble in that.
It was the worst place for a right-handed hitter to go, especially hip tight, because he was the type of dude to hit the ball like all over the place. But that place was like 450 to dead center there before they moved the fences into where they are now.
Yeah, it was impossible.
He was never healthy there, and it was one of those big deals that didn't.
Well, the one year he played in Detroit was 2000. He had 22 home runs, still hit .289, but yeah, much lower numbers.
Just started to dwindle there after that. Is it me? Yes, let's get to break on the other side as I pull up my sheet here.
We got some SDFC press conference audio. You know, their game's coming up this weekend. So.
We also got some stuff we didn't cover earlier the show as well.
That's true.
So we'll have something for you when we come back. Chris, here's some traffic.
No dead air, huh? Don't forget, coming up a little over an hour from now, 5:30, we'll announce today's biggest fan. And that fan will have a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. If you haven't registered yet, don't wait any longer. Go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. SDFC. San Diego FC. First ever match Sunday. Mentioned it in the trivia there.
Yes.
Carson Dignity Health Field, I believe it
is. Sports Park.
Yep. They're going to take on the defending champs, the LA Galaxy. Thanks for welcoming us to the league, you know, with a softie. Going to take on the Galaxy Sunday. And then the home opener is a week after that, here against St. Louis City. So, soccer fans, I hope a lot of people are going to go up. I don't know how, you know, can you get tickets to road matches? It's the defending champions home opener, so I'm sure they'll have a lot of LA people want to go see that match, but I would assume if you're a San Diego soccer fan, this is a historical game.
I can see people
waiting
going
to
up
get
there,
into
sure.
the waiting to try to get into the MLS. So, good luck to Mikey Varas and the FC.
I'm going to talk about them in the Big Five in a second. So,
all right, Mikey Varas, by the way, for you soccer fans, was on the midday show today with Craig Elston and Annie Heilbrunn. So, you soccer fans, if you want to check that interview out, get the latest on Mickey Varas and your soccer guys. Did you see this today, Tony? We talked about the Cubs-Dodgers first spring training game of the year. Bobby Miller, Dodger pitcher, got hit with the line drive in the head. I still have not seen a final report on that. He did get off the field under his own power. But here's another story. Chicago Cubs pitcher Cody Poteet today, on the second pitch of the game, challenged the call of umpire Tony Randazzo. Second pitch.
Randazzo.
He threw a strike to open the game. Second pitch, Poteet thought it was a strike. Randazzo said, ball. Poteet tapped his hat. They looked at it. Lickety split. Strike. Cody Poteet was correct. So they changed it to 0-2.
How much does this upset you? Because of the way you're presenting this, I feel like there is...
Well, it seems a little weird, although I'm thinking more about it. It seems weird to do it on the second pitch of the game, except for the fact it's spring training. Cody Poteet's not going to be out there very long. So he probably wants to get every strike he can get. It's going to work like this, and it's going to happen. How much longer, Tony, do we get without this stuff? Another year or two of regular play, and then it's here for sure?
Maybe a year, two, I would say four at the most.
Yeah.
That's how long.
Four? Well, that would
it's
be.
It's not long. It's right around the corner.
It doesn't look like there's really any kinks in this particular, you know, with this
it seemed as though the original plan of just having a system that could call all balls and strikes didn't get up to snuff. So this is the next best thing where You call the game as it is, and then if somebody disagrees, boop, boop, boop. Now, I'm finally here. I forgot to ask him today. I will ask him tomorrow what's going to be the strategy. And he probably won't have one knowing Schulte because it's not here. It's not something he needs to worry about right now.
Right.
But one of these days, I'll get him to indulge me a little bit in terms
what
of
what he's thinking,
what a future strategy would look like.
Now, here's the thing. I want to bring this up because we're all getting used to it, and it's going to be just in spring this year. But I thought it was instantaneous. Right? Like a second or two. According to this story, MLB estimates the process averages 17 seconds. Are we willing to wait that long?
First off.
For a strike or ball to be changed?
First off, no one ever said 1 or 2 seconds.
Well, I thought it was pretty
quick. Well, time out.
17 seconds is a
Tony's going timeout.
I know. Go
ahead. Timeout. I think it's his first of the day.
You still have 2 timeouts from Aaron.
Good job, Chris. He even did the T sign, so we had to stop down for it.
Because I was going to say that the actual time to figure out if it's a ball strike is probably about 1 or 2 seconds. It's the process of the pitcher hitting his hat, that whole thing going down, and then them finding it that probably can take up to 17. That seems a little long,
in my opinion.
I bet you they gave you the high estimate so they can come way under it and be like, hey, see,
it's
look what we did.
Better than we thought.
Right.
Because yesterday the video we saw, Chris, was pitch, batter took maybe a second, tapped his head.
But that wasn't
maybe
in
two
the game.
I know, but 2 seconds. But they're trying to test it out. And I think the process is fast.
Take a guess, Tony. Do I like it or hate it?
You hate it.
Of course. I do. I do.
You hate it. And I think that's reasonable.
Well, Scraby asked me yesterday, you know, we got to stop this. We got to get all these calls right. And I said, how many egregious, horrible strike ball calls have taken a bat out of somebody's hands? And the only one I could really remember was Jake Cronenworth a year or two ago. And I couldn't remember a whole lot more than that, Tony, where the ump misses it so
badly. There's not a lot.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if Jesse will reveal the conversation he had with, you know, Sullivan, who's a great test because he's been in the big leagues and he's been down in AAA where they've been using this system for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think you would be surprised to hear that, you know, I think he likes the system, but doesn't necessarily think it should be in the big leagues. You know what I'm saying? Because go ahead.
You don't have any timeouts left over there.
I know. Yeah. I just
you don't get any. You don't get any to begin
just
with.
Pulled a Chris Webber in the corner. Someone on the chat said something that made sense because remember the Dodgers and the Giants from years ago in the playoffs when Wilmer Flores was rung up on a check swing. Is a check swing part of this yet? Because I know that you can challenge that in certain leagues, but I think this is
just balls, but
we've seen it before.
What league can you challenge a
check
swing?
Or maybe they were testing it in like the Atlantic League or something like that. Because I did see video of a check swing challenge.
The reality is it would be stupid to check swing because there actually isn't a rule on what defines a check swing. It has to get to this point or it has to, there isn't, it's not in the rule book. So it's a discretionary call. So I guess you could challenge it, but the chances are that they're going to look at it the same way that everybody else looked at it.
I mean, that would be one situation where you absolutely have to use your challenge on a check swing to end your season.
Yeah, well, first of all, how many times in the billion games that have been played has a game been decided by a check swing? I promise you it's a very, 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 very small percentage. A, and B, you know what? Sometimes you just got to be okay with what the call happened, with what the call was on the field.
But see, like, we can't do that anymore. Because we'll see the replay forever and ever and ever. He didn't swing. And that's going to be the whole thing about, and I'm saying for Wilmer Flores, you know, when he looks back.
There will be people who say that same replay and say, oh, he didn't swing. Just as there will be people who said, oh, yeah, he definitely swung. That's the whole beauty of sports is that we can have this discussion and argument forever.
Ever and ever.
And you guys may have it forever, yeah, because we're past the time. So let's come back. We got a Big Five next on Gwen and Chris.
4:38 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zello, Matt Scraby. Gwynn and Chris. Big Five headed your way here shortly. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box, new crispy boneless wing. Have so much more. You get that? So much more. Crunch. So much more. Crunch than the competition. You won't be able to think about soggy nugs ever again.
I can't believe they're getting away with soggy nugs. What is wrong with it? What do you think of? Soggy nugs. I don't like it.
Soggy is kind of gross. That's why they're saying you should come to Jack in the Box. We don't got soggy nugs.
I think they're just saying it so that I'll remember the commercial.
That's a great... You're going to remember it.
Right. Jack in the Box. Go get your crispy, crunchy chicken nuggets.
All right, let's check.
Did you hear that Scraby went to Taco Bell for chicken nuggets? I mean, that's a desperate move by a desperate man.
That is not desperate.
Wait. When was this?
This was like a month ago or something when they were really promoting that they had chicken nuggets and everybody was talking about how good they were, so I went.
And you, who's everybody that was talking about how good
Taco Bell commercials made it look really good, and so I went. They were sold out because so many people bought them.
So many people got bamboozled like you did.
And they said, I didn't pay anything because they said, hey, do you want anything else? And I said, you don't got the nuggets? And they said, nope. And I said, nope. And I walked out.
You don't want the thing that we're actually famous for, our taco? You don't want that?
Nope. I'm going to go to the taco place down the street.
This is not called Nugget Bell.
It should be. It's actually a great name for another sort of business.
Oh, Nugget Bell, huh?
Okay.
Let's check traffic and get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So, real quick before you start the Big Five, I told you guys a couple weeks back that my youngest daughter made it to the port where she gets to train at the United States Olympic Training Center.
Yeah.
So I'm stalking her right now on my phone. I don't know if you guys can see that.
I can see that. What are you doing?
I'm stalking her on Life 360, right?
Wow.
And she's there, apparently.
And I think that's super cool to see United States Olympic Training Center.
I like it.
That is amazing. There. That is really cool. Now we have to talk about your stalking.
Either that or she left her phone
there. Well, listen, when you're a parent, that would be some stuff right there. I almost said the wrong word. what were you asking me? Oh, stalking her. Yeah, well, if you're a parent in 2025, this is part of parenting.
No, for sure.
Knowing where your kids are at all times.
Yeah.
I heard that kids throw their phones in bushes and then go out for the evening.
Not my kids. They can barely breathe without their phone. So I know that they're not going to just throw theirs in the
bush. That's also a good point. Do I want freedom or do I want my phone?
They would take their phone over air itself. I promise you.
No, you got it.
If we had cell phones growing up and I threw mine in a bush and my mom found out about it, I would be dead. She would kill me. I would be too afraid to do that.
I would have had to come back in a whole new life if I had threw a phone that my mom gave me.
Tony had to be reincarnated as a cat.
I didn't just have the phone. I had to answer it. If I didn't answer the phone, it was over.
Yeah.
One of these days when you guys are a little older, I'll tell you all of the incredible lengths I used to go to skirt my mom's watch after school.
Okay, I can imagine them being very intense. Very intense.
I went all out.
I bet. Well, you've already said that when you were a kid, you used to go joyriding at like 14, so I can't even imagine.
That was with my dad, and that was with the okay of my dad.
Yeah, me too.
So I blame my dad for that one.
Same thing. I had a dad that operated the same exact way.
Wow. I was never allowed to drive until I got my permit. And then they didn't want me to drive because it was bad.
Back then, it wouldn't have been as major news. Like, if I got caught driving a car at 14 in 2025 as Tony Gwynn's son, that would be, like...
bad news.
That'd be all over the place.
That
right?
would be.
Back in 1996 or 98, whatever it was, I got my license. It wouldn't have been. It was just, you might not even heard about it, actually.
As a matter of fact, it happened a few times, and we didn't hear about it.
So there you go. Oh, man, I was reading something the other day about the old days and before the internet. It was, internet's great, but it was
alive,
better.
Man.
It was better.
It was
back
way
then.
Better.
You could hide. You could do whatever you wanted.
you could hide.
Yeah. I'm not pressured to be on social media every single day.
Yeah, it was a time to be alive then.
Yeah. Wooden spoons, all that good stuff.
Wooden. Scraby, you know about the wooden spoon, bro?
He doesn't know about that, but he knows about
me. I was the worst kid. I used to get the wooden spoon all the time.
What you don't know, though, is about the switch.
Oh, he does. You
definitely
don't
know about the switch. Yeah, I definitely don't know about the switch.
See, everybody wants to know how all three of us, who seemingly have a lot different personalities, get along. We got a lot of commonality in the threads of our life together.
We do. We had some very strict parents growing up. All right, I think we're headed towards a carryover, but that's okay.
We definitely are headed towards a carryover. Go
perfect
ahead.
Addition to the Big Five. Congrats to your daughter. That is really a big deal.
Thank you.
Number five.
All right, we talked about it. SDFC is going to be starting this weekend against the LA Galaxy. Head coach Mikey Varis was asked to assess the state of his team leading into the team's inaugural match, and he did that at the press conference yesterday.
It's been quite positive of a preseason. We focused on three buckets, making sure that we're healthy and fit as an expansion roster who's growing. Make sure the game model style of play is clear. And then make sure we develop a fighting team spirit amongst the team. And I think we've had a very successful preseason in terms of maximizing every second that we've had together in doing those three things. And it's clear the areas that we want to continue to grow in, but the team has taken tremendous steps forward into showing that we can be competitive and we can play a clear style of play.
All right, so... this is their expansion year. It's probably going to be somewhat of a tough year, just getting on their feet. But, Tony, what are your realistic expectations for this team this year?
I don't even know what.
I'm not putting win-loss on it. Like,
I think just being competitive. I truly understand enough to know that this is a different hill that they're about to climb than what the Wave had to climb. And so I would just say being competitive enough to keep people's attention here in San Diego, which is not going to be an easy feat. We know how fickle the sports community can be here. If you ain't winning or at least showing some type of reason for people to spend their money to come watch you, they won't come watch you. That's just how it's been here. So I just want them to be competitive and give themselves an opportunity to really grow what seemingly could be a really huge thing here in San Diego.
That's a good answer, Chris. What are your realistic expectations for the team this year?
I already sorted this out. I went through the schedule. I have
okay.
picked a winner, loser in every match. I think what you shoot for this year would be a 500 thing if you could do it. And I know that's probably even asking a lot. But you got 34 matches. I say if you could go 10, 10, and 14, which would be 14 draws. You know, so you'd only be winning 10 out of 34 games. But if your record was 500, I think people would be pretty excited and pretty impressed with that, given where they're starting. The other thing I have is I have my game plan for the opener on Sunday.
Okay.
They score early, because we're the expansion team, and you know we get lucky. You know, first time
riding high early,
riding high, and you know beginner's luck.
Chris is going to be outside with a flag on his back.
Yeah,
flying
we get
the plane.
We get the early goal because we got the beginner's luck. We get on the board. Then we, for the final 70 minutes of the match, you go to the 0-0-11 alignment. Putting 11 guys
what
right in front of the goal.
What the heck is this dude talking about right now?
Don't you know
what
how
is he talking about?
A normal alignment is 3-5 2 or 3 how many errors left?
That
3
would
5
be
5.
10.
No, but you know what I mean. You put 3 forwards, 5 midfielders.
Yeah,
in
I don't
my
know,
alignment,
I don't know
you,
that they,
you go 0-0
I don't know
11.
That they count the goalie, by the way.
All right. 0-0 oh, really? 10. Put 10 guys in the box and you defend the hell out of that 1-0 lead. The rest of the match.
I say to just have someone cherry pick the entire time and hope they don't call it.
Hope they don't
They're
call
going
it.
To
I
call
think
it.
They'll call
they
it.
They have literally AI
yeah, I know.
Watching that.
They do. They have like a virtual reality
VAR.
Thing. VAR. Yes. All right.
Also, let it be known that the Wave averaged 8,000 in their first year. So
I think that's doable.
And then 20,000 according to Wikipedia here in their second year.
I definitely.
That's
I mean,
a huge jump.
Everybody was going to the Wave game,
right? So
yeah, no. The first 2 years, it was popping.
So anyway, good all luck right. to the FC.
All right, 0-0-10. Mikey Veris, the head coach, listen to Chris. He knows what he's talking about.
Number four.
Right. Yeah, sure I do.
Sure I do. With the Four Nations face-off, which is about to, the championship match is about to get underway in 10 minutes, it's so popular during the NHL All-Star break that CBSSports.com asked the question as to whether or not baseball needs a competition like this during the All-Star break instead of the All-Star game. Here's how I see it happening if it were to be for real. The four top WBC teams face off in a two-day event. Losers go home on the first day. Winners play for the title. We complain every year about every single All-Star game. So, Chris, what about this?
For baseball, I have a, you know, I just think that that's going to take away from the World Baseball Classic. I think for basketball, it's the thing to try, especially with the level of international stars in basketball. I shouldn't say this because Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, they have some amazing international players. But that's what I'm tuning
Japan.
Into the world. That's what I'm Japan, right? But that's what I'm tuning into the World Baseball Classic for. So I don't need a little 2-day tournament in the middle of the year.
Sorry. All right, Tony, how are you feeling
terrible
about this?
Idea. Terrible, terrible, terrible. For a couple of reasons. Unlike the other sports, there's way too many games in baseball. So now you're going to take whatever little break that these guys have and do a tournament-style thing.
Two-day event.
In the middle of the break.
Max two games?
Yeah, nah, I'm good. I think you got to just get back to everybody, back to competing. And try it. The All-Star game's good enough. We don't need another game or style game. We got, as Chris said, you got the World Baseball Classic. And remember, the reason why they put that at the beginning of the year was because they thought that would be the only time you'd get the most participation in it.
Yeah.
If you're doing it in July, you're already trying to keep the tank full, as close to full as you can going down the stretch. Those type of – and the other thing is I have no doubt that if it were somehow to come to fruition that they do it, dudes would go all out. And you see the type of toll that takes at the beginning of the season when you have time to kind of recover throughout the year. This is right in the middle. You're not even going to be 100% playing in these games most likely. I don't think it's a good idea.
All right, you guys convinced me. It's not a good idea.
Number three.
Sportsbooks across the United States report that the Four Nations games thus far have outperformed average regular season NHL contests. DraftKings said that its four most bet hockey games of the season have been from this tournament, while FanDuel says that the contests are averaging over six times as many bets as an average NHL game this regular season. In particular, Saturday's USA-Canada matchup was the most bet hockey game of the season. FanDuel says that the contest saw 13 times more bets than all of the 3-on-3 games that made up last year's NHL All-Star event combined, and 11 times more bets than an average NHL game this regular season. Caesars Sportsbook's head of hockey, We're going to run out of time, so we're going to have to answer on the other side. Head of hockey Kerry Shreve says that the book is handling, quote, 7 to 10 times more money for each game, with the first North American rivalry showdown bringing in even more. So I'm going to ask Tony when we get back on the other side, is sports betting the way for fringe sports to become more popular?
More Gwen and Chris on the other side.